Hello, everyone. This is the Betting Pros PGA Podcast. I'm Pat Fitzmaurice, joined as always by my tag team partner, Bo McBrayer. We are here to preview this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational from a betting perspective. This is actually a two-tournament week on the PGA Tour, so we'll try to sneak in a quick word about the Puerto Rico Open near the end of the show. Bo and I will also recap the Cognizant Classic, which didn't finish until Monday morning due to a final round weather delay. And what do you know, for a second straight week, at least one of us had the tournament winner on our betting card. More on that in just a moment. The Betting Pros PGA Podcast is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy football enthusiasts know that Underdog is the place to go for best ball fantasy football contest, but you might not have known that Underdog also has golf contests. Sign up for Underdog if you haven't already with the promo code BPGOLF to get your first deposit matched up to $100. Plus, there's a special pick available for you in the lobby. More on Underdog and its golf contests shortly. Bo, we spent a lot of time on last week's show talking about what a difficult course PGA National can be. Then we got a tournament with very little wind after the first round and some wet, highly receptive greens. So the scores were a lot lower than we could have predicted. Austin Eckroat, not to be confused with NFL running back Austin Eckler, he finished at 17 under par to win by 3 shots over Eric Van Ruyen and Minwoo Lee. Eckroat shot an opening round 65, which was one off the lead, then followed it up with rounds of 67, 68, and 67 to outlast the field. Eckroat's final round got off to a late start on Sunday due to that aforementioned weather delay. He needed to play more than half his final round on Monday, but by the time he teed off on Monday morning, Bo, he had a pretty clear path to victory since the other contenders were behind him and were either done or close to being done with their final rounds. And Eckroat was presented with calm conditions and soft rain-soaked greens. So Van Ruyen, torrid start to his final round, birdies on 7 of his first 8 holes, but he just had too much ground to make up, even with the final round 63. I had Eckroat on my betting card at 90-1. I thought his driving accuracy and his solid middle and long iron play would be a good fit for PGA National. That turned out to be the case, even if the course was playing a little bit easier than usual. Any closing thoughts on the Cognizant Classic, Bo? And did you piggyback me at all on Austin Eckroat?
I didn't piggyback him on the betting slips, but he was one of my highest exposure players in my DFS player pool, which to great effect made it a profitable week, along with a couple other guys. Like Rory McIlroy did pretty well for his price. He wasn't perfect, but he was part of a good lineup. And then, of course, I had my guy Chris Kirk in there with a solid finish and a really good final round. Just the overall player pool was strong with both of our picks combined. You can overlap a lot of these plays between betting cards and DFS play. That was a good one. And I wasn't on him as that sort of player until you mentioned his name last week. And I dove into it deeper and decided I was going to make it a thing. I didn't really go overexposed to anybody, which helped me in the end because Eric Cole is one of my favorite guys and he completely crapped his pants and missed the cut. So it was good that I limited exposure and put my top exposure on guys like that.
Yeah, Eric Cole, rough round. I would not have expected him to be dead last in the field through what? Not just the first day, maybe the first 2 days.
Bad.
One of the other highlights, the spectacular Thomas Dietrich meltdown on, I forget what hole that was on, but five putting.
It was a 6-putt overall, but his first one was from more than 50 feet away. But his first putt was within 5 feet, and he 5-putted from 5 feet. So a 6-putt total. And I've never even 5-putted in my life, and I've golfed a lot. I've 4-putted plenty of times. Of course, everybody's 3-putted, and it drives them crazy, especially when they're on the green and 2 on a par 5, and you 3-putt for par. I've 4-putted for bogey on a par 5 before. I've never 5-putted, let alone 6-putted. And this is a tour player. It blew my mind because once he lipped out the second one, he was just rage tapping and it wouldn't go down.
Oh, it was comical. There were some nonchalant efforts on those putts. Yes. And you do that in a PGA Tour event and you can, set yourself. Plus you make some highlight reels that you don't want to make. So let's turn our attention to the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But first, our friends at Underdog Fantasy are letting you make picks on your favorite golfers all season long. Just pick higher or lower on selected stats for 2 to 5 golfers, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single day. You can also make rivals picks, choosing, for example, which of 2 golfers will shoot a better score in a round. Golf picks can be combined with player stats from other sports, too. Go sign up at Underdog Fantasy with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit matched up to $100. Plus, there's a special pick available for you in the lobby. All right, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. As always, they will play this event at Bay Hill in Orlando, Florida, a par 72 course that plays to 7,466 yards. Much like last week's course, PGA National, Bay Hill is one of the tougher tracks on the tour. Water comes into play on half the holes. There's a lot of sand, and Bay Hill features some fast Bermuda greens. The key to playing Bay Hill well might be surviving the par threes, Bo. The shortest of Bay Hill's par threes measures 199 yards, and the other three are all 215 yards or longer. The longest is number 2, which measures 231 yards, and the 17th, kind of an iconic hole, 221 yards with the green surrounded by sand and water. I think if you gave the pros a shot of sodium pentothal, they would tell you they would be delighted to play the par threes at even par this week. Most of the par fives at Bay Hill are on the longer side, too. Number 17 is only 511 yards, but there's water short left and right of the green. The other par fives all check in. Yeah, exactly. Go long and you're fine, just a few bunkers, you know. The other par fives all check in at 555 yards or longer, and number 4 is 590 yards. I check the weather forecast, Bo. Mostly dry Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Chance of rain Sunday morning, just as we saw this past week. Winds of less than 10 miles per hour on Thursday and Friday, but the wind picks up a little on the weekend for the guys who make the cut, which in this event is most of the field, around 14 miles per hour Saturday and Sunday. So I just mentioned a lot of guys making the cut. This is a signature event. So it's going to be a strong 69-player field. Would have been 70, but Tony Finau is electing not to play. And top 50-plus ties make the cut. So the defending champion is Bo. Do you want to shout out your fellow Northern California guy?
Not just my fellow NorCal guy, but I played against his older brother in high school and lost. And Kurt Kitayama, of course, from Chico, California, was in that. His high school is in the same league as our high school, so I competed against his brother, and his parents would follow him at our tournaments, and sometimes young Kurt would be with them. And the story goes is after one of our rounds where Daniel Kitayama shot a 70 in the 70s in high school, which is ridiculous, but I was pretty hot to trot with my 81 that day, and I was like, "Wow, Daniel's looking pretty good. He's going to college for playing golf in college." I'm like, "Yeah, but Kurt here is better. Like, already beats his older brother at golf, and his brother was shooting in the 70s as an 18-year-old." So that should tell you everything you know. That I think 6 years difference there. So he was junior high age. And he was already beating his older brother. So, yeah, let's just say Kurt is a special talent. And I called his victory last year at Bay Hill a 250-1 long shot. And I saw the course fit with his style of play. And I knew he was a grinder, where the tougher the conditions and the more pressure that's put on these golfers, which is Bay Hill in a nutshell, the better he was going to play. And that came to fruition where it came down to the back nine on Sunday, where he had 4 of the top 5 golfers in the world trying to chase him down, and he beat them all to take home that trophy.
Yeah, tough conditions indeed. He shot 9 under par last year to win, beating Rory McIlroy and Harris English by one stroke. And 9 under was actually one of the better winning scores in recent years. Other winners at Bay Hill in the past 4 years, Scottie Scheffler won in 2022. He was 5 under, one shot better than Victor Hovland, Billy Horschel, and Tyrrell Hatton. Only 10 players in the field finished under par in 2022. Bryson DeChambeau, minus 11 here in 2021. He won by a shot over Lee Westwood. And in 2020, Tyrrell Hatton won with a score of minus 4. He beat Mark Leishman by one stroke. Only 4 players in the field finished under par that year. So if the wind blows, especially, this course can be just brutal. Give me your take on Bay Hill, Bo. What stands out to you? What's it going to take for someone to win here?
It's the scrambling. It's because the tee balls are important. Like, you're going to focus on strokes gained from tee to green. Ball striking skills are important, but you need a guy that's a grinder, because even if your tee ball and your approach are good, that doesn't mean you're going to get down in 2 or 1, especially making birdies here is a premium. You need guys that can keep their head above water on those par threes that are filthy difficult. Some of the par fours are easier. Some of the par fours are really tough. But the par fives are everything here. Bryson won at minus 11 because he annihilated the par fives and stayed alive on all the other holes. Kurt Kitayama won at minus 9 by his long approach. Game was incredible. And when he got into trouble, he was getting up and down from the green side, which is tight lies, lots of bunkering. But it's more like, even more important is the tight lies around the greens with the grain of the Bermuda and how fast they run. It's if you have a guy that can get up and down from a bad approach shot, that's going to win this tournament. It's going to be making birdies where you can find them and then surviving when you're not in birdie position.
Yeah, grinding out pars is of the essence at a course
pars
like this,
where the and most holes here.
Sure, because the winning score is going to be very U.S. Open-like at Bear Hill this week.
I need some carnage.
Yes, sir.
I didn't get my carnage at PGA National last week because it was too soft.
That's right. Hopefully we get a little more fast, firm conditions this week at Bay Hill. We're going to break down the odds in just a moment. But first, if you want a chance to win a premium 1-year Betting Pros subscription, you need to subscribe to the Betting Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video, and that's it. We will be announcing a winner right here on the channel. So make sure to turn on those notifications so you can be alerted when new episodes are up and to claim your prize. Scottie Scheffler is the favorite this week at plus 650. Not a surprise. As mentioned a moment ago, Scheffler won this event 2 years ago, and he was fourth here last year. Rory McIlroy is plus 900. Xander Schauffele and Victor Hovland are plus 1,400. Patrick Cantlay, plus 1,600. Ludwig Aubert is plus 1,800. Jordan Spieth, plus 2,000. Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa are plus 2,200. And at plus 2,500 are Will Zalatoris, Tommy Fleetwood, Max Homa, and Cameron Young. And we'll also sneak in a mention of Matt Fitzpatrick, who's played this course very well. He's plus 2,800. Anyone you like from this top group, Bo?
I like all of them. It's going to be really hard to drill down because, except for Kurt Kitayama last year, this is usually a favorites type of tournament. And it's going to be made even more so with the format this year, with the 69 golfers and the barely any cut elevated money. I think a favorite's going to win this. Figuring out which one of these favorites is going to win is going to be darn near impossible, because Scottie Scheffler should win this tournament with how he fits this course. He won it 2 years ago, looked unbelievably just completely unbeatable that year when the conditions were unbelievably difficult. Scottie Scheffler was head and shoulders above everybody else. And then last year, Scottie Scheffler should have won this tournament, but fizzled down the stretch trying to catch up to Kurt Kitayama. Tried to make birdies when birdies weren't there and ended up messing up. But for me, I'm starting my card with two guys at 14-1, Xander Schauffele and Victor Hovland. Both have the pedigree, they both have the course history, and they both are unbelievably good from tee to green. Xander more than Victor in the short game aspect, but Victor more than Xander on the tee to green aspect. So it's those two guys popped up to the very top of my first run of the statistical model I use. Those two stand apart because I would love to bet Scottie Scheffler. I would love it. I would love to bet Rory, but their recent form doesn't allow me to do that when I have two guys that are just as good that are going to pay me more money.
Yeah, Hovland, it took him a while to warm up to Bay Hill. Finished 40th, 42nd, 49th from 2019 to 2021, but then a second in 2022 and a 10th last year. So he seems to be figuring things out on this course. Yeah, much improved. I mean, as you said, chipping is all important, and Hovland was kind of a train wreck as a chipper earlier in his career. Finally figured out that part of his game. Boy, Bo, I can't get away from Rory. I know the form hasn't been great, but he played pretty well for the most part until his encounter with the wet ball, the pond lie at PGA National last week.
That his track record, and,
yes, oh my God, definitely. In his last seven appearances at Bay Hill, dating back to 2017, Rory has finished 4th, 1st, 6th, 5th, 10th, 13th, 2nd. Like, it's almost a given that he's going to be lurking. I feel like he's going to be lurking, and it also feels like he's somewhat due. What about Jordan Spieth, Bo? He's only played this event twice, I believe, but he's finished 4th both times.
And Spieth is that scrambler that you're looking for. His tee to green game is an absolute nightmare. But if he gets into trouble and you're looking for a grinder with an incredible short game, Spieth is, of course, what you're going to look for. I don't like Spieth as much as I like some of the other guys in that same range. So that's where I'm at with him. Rory, for me, doesn't score as well on the par fours, and avoiding bogeys is a big thing here. And he's kind of middle of the pack there compared to some of these top other favorites that are like top five in those stats that I'm looking at. So those are the things where he's done very well at Bay Hill in the past that he hasn't been doing recently. His scrambling is nearly dead last in this entire field. Over his last 24 rounds, his chipping game, which has traditionally been a strength of his, has not been on point for Rory. His wedge game, his approach game, and short distances are going to account for 30% of these holes, especially on those par fours. And it's just not there. Like, Rory is incredibly talented, but when I'm looking at a single digit odds payout, I want something better, and I want somebody who can actually, I can picture winning in this year's tournament, not 5 years ago.
Yeah, he's not putting a lot of his wedge approaches close. Ooh. And you sort of alluded to it a second ago, Bo. The average par four at Bay Hill is only 437 yards. So you're going to be hitting a lot of wedges into par fours. And, you know, maybe Rory just does not have the ability to stuff those in there like he used to. Can I interest you in Matthew Fitzpatrick, who has finished no worse than 14th in any of his last five appearances here with four top tens? Those last five appearances, 2nd, 9th, 10th, 9th, 14th.
Great player. Not a winner. I think he's a major winner on a course pretty different from this one. He doesn't show up that much when it comes to my modeling. His odds are really appealing to me. So I'm going to take a closer look at Fitz. I think that you got a little bit of a Homer vibe to you there because his name is very close in relation to yours. Matt Fitzpatrick, Pat Fitzmaurice. It seems a little too, there's something fishy going on with you and Fitzy, because Fitzy hasn't been very good for a while, but he's always getting mentioned on the show. And
that's right.
I like him enough, but he just hasn't been that sharp lately. And as much as I love him and I love his odds, I need to look at it a little closer for me to get into playing him in this event.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm definitely betting him at Harbortown. I don't know if I'm going to play him this week. Well, I've got an inkling, but let's take a look.
If Brookline is on the schedule, we're betting Fitz.
Oh, definitely. Let's take a look at the players in the plus 3,000 to plus 5,000 range. At plus 3,000, Justin Thomas and Jason Day. Minwoo Lee is plus 3,500. Hideki Matsuyama is plus 4,000. At plus 4,500 are Wyndham Clark, Keegan Bradley, and Ben Ahn. And at plus 5,000 are Tom Kim, Russell Henley, Jake Knapp, and Harris English. How about this group, Bo? Anyone you like?
I love future PGA Tour comeback player of the year, Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas ranks fourth overall in my model behind Schauffele, Scheffler, and Cantlay. And at 30-1... I absolutely adore Justin Thomas. I think he's very live to win this one. This guy's coming into his own. He's looked really sharp since coming back from a really disappointing season last year. I want the JT comeback story to start here with a big win. And to get 30-1 on a player of that caliber that fits this course so well with his wedge game and his long approach game, I love Justin Thomas here. That's going to be a really solid pick for me.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I do like that we're getting a player of that pedigree at such long, well, not long odds, but longer than we're used to for Justin Thomas. Well, that's why we're giving these picks to the people, Bo. Keegan Bradley is kind of interesting. Again, you mentioned Fitzpatrick not necessarily being a frequent winner. I think we could say the same of Keegan Bradley, but he's finished 10th, 11th, and 10th in his last three trips here. Russell Henley, Bo, doesn't have a great track record at Bay Hill. Finished 13th 2 years ago. Otherwise, nothing, no top 40s in any of his other six trips. His recent form hasn't been all that splendid either, but Henley has always fared pretty well on Bermuda greens throughout his career, and I kind of like getting him at 50-1.
I'll see your Russell Henley, who does not get that nice bomber bump that we get at Bay Hill. This is a bomber-friendly course. Even 7,400 yards is a little bit more than tour average. But it favors bombers with the landing areas, especially on the par fours. Par fives are so tough for these shorter hitters like Henley. Henley's an accuracy guy. And where he dominates on Bermuda greens, he's a great putter. He's got good short game. He's going to be hitting longer clubs into these scoring holes that I don't know if he has the firepower to do so. I see your Russell Henley at 50-1, and I raise you a defending champion, Kurt Kitayama, at 55-1 right now. Because if there's one guy I know gets the bomber bump, has an outstanding long iron game, and is an incredible scrambler, it's Kurt Kitayama. This guy's a grinder where Henley is not. Yeah, I love Kurt Kitayama's fit to this course just as much as I did last year. And we're talking about good vibes at Bay Hill. Like he slipped on that red sweater last year. That's going to be a forever place that's special to Kurt Kitayama starting this week, where he's getting a heck of a lot more respect put on his name than he did last year.
In the recent form, not bad. Top 40 finish in every event he's entered so far in 2024.
The tougher,
only
the better.
One top 10.
Tougher the better.
But yeah, as you said, a guy who plays tough course as well, and this is a tough course. What about long shots, Bo?
Two guys that are blazing hot right now. I'm not going to take too many shots down that far, but I'm going to throw a little bit of skin on my guy from France, Mathieu Pavon, because he's red hot. 75-1 for a guy playing that well. It's disrespectful. I think that even in a field this strong, this guy's showed up and he's played out of his mind this season. Hot golfers stay hot. Bad golfers that are in rough form, like Tony Finau, should probably drop out of Bay Hill and stay home. Pavon is an incredible talent that is really coming into his own. And 90-1, the good vibes are carrying on from one Florida Bermuda grass course to another. Austin Eckroat, your guy, is at 90-1 right now. +9,000 for the guy who just won going away last week on a very similar course. I like Austin Eckrode at those odds, even if I'm just throwing a couple bucks at him and a top 20 bet.
I want to like him, Bo, but I've kind of got this general policy. I don't like playing guys coming off a win. It seems like they've, you know, they're getting their...
That policy costs me more money than it makes me.
Yeah. They're getting their
18th in my model this week, which out of 69, that's more than enough to bet him at 90.
Yeah, you should be. It's a good point. A hot player playing a similar style of course. Mm-hmm. I sometimes wonder if those guys aren't a little, I don't know if I want to say mentally checked out, but sort of preoccupied with all the buzz around them the week after a win.
Think about Jake Knapp. He darn near won that thing last week.
He did.
Jake Knapp didn't even think he fit the course well. Like, Jake Knapp comes from Mexico Open and a very cupcake resort course to PGA National and looked outstanding from tee to green. He's another one to look at this week because another hot golfer with plenty of firepower. I don't know if he has the scrambling to stay with this course, but Eckrode does.
While we're on the subject of guys at 90 to 1, Bo, let me run Tom Hoagie by you. He's finished top 10 in two of his last four events, and he's been top 30 in all four. His track record at Bay Hill, not great with missed cuts in two of his last three trips, but he's also finished 15th, 26th, and 32nd in past trips here. Any interest?
And he's supposed to be a Bermuda specialist, but he's better on shorter courses. He's one of those accuracy guys, kind of like a poor man's Henley. He rates out well here still. I think he's 20th in my model. His as good of an iron player as he is, especially on those 200 plus distances, he's a great approach player. Nearly dead last in scrambling. He's struggling to get up and down and avoid bogeys, which here is probably why he's missing cuts, because where as good as he is at making birdies on gettable par fours and shorter par fives, I'm not sure that he can overcome a bad hole where he's exponentially worse on when he doesn't hit the green, especially when he misses the fairway. From the fairway, he's as good as it gets. From the rough, he's going to get eaten alive out here. So not a huge fan of Hoagie on a course this long. Pebble Beach, yeah, Tom Hoagie all the way.
Let's cover the Puerto Rico Open in just a minute or two, Bo. It's played at the Grand Reserve Golf Club, which is a par 72 spanning 7,506 yards. The greens are past Palom, as were the greens at the Mexico Open a couple of weeks ago, and it's a fairly easy track. The last four winners, Nico Echeverria, Ryan Bram, Brandon Grace, and Victor Hovland all won with scores ranging from minus 21 to minus 19. Rasmus Højgaard is the favorite at plus 1,400. I'm going to bet him, Bo, because I think he's the best player in this field by a good margin and maybe really the only guy in the field who's been in tip-top form so far in 2024. I'm also going to make small plays on Brandon Wu at plus 3,000 and defending champ Nico Echeverria. Talk about disrespectful, 70 to 1 for a guy who won it last year and has been in decent form so far this year. Are you betting the Puerto Rico Open at all, Bo?
I have one name, and I've said his name on this show before. You've butchered his name on the show before. Rio Hisatsune. Hisatsune has got incredible birdie making ability, and at 25 to 1, I like his firepower here, and I like the ability for him to go super duper low and put, if he's on his form here, he's going to leave this field in dust. Rasmus is more of a grinder. He's a solid player. He's obviously in great form. He's the deserved favorite here, but I think that it's going to take some firepower to win this thing. And give me Rio and a little bit of Brandon Wu. I'm in agreement with Brandon Wu. He's a good player. Shout out NorCal.
All right. I don't want to get left behind on Hisatsune because we liked him at the Mexico Open. Maybe, you know, just one warm-up attempt on these past Palom greens, and he's going to be good to go in Puerto Rico. Let's get to our one and done picks, Bo. You had Chris Kirk last week, finished in a tie for 28th place, good for $59,014. I had Shane Lowry, who was in contention throughout the tournament, had giving me visions of a win and a big blow against you, Bo. Didn't happen. Disappointing final round, 71 to finish in a tie for fourth. That got me $344,000 $344,250, pushed me over the $1 million mark and got me within about $1.8 million of you, Bo. And by the way, I felt like I stole about, it was a six-figure amount, because I don't know if you saw the Lowry birdie putt on the final hole that did a 360-degree tour of the cup.
Dropped.
A five-footer before going in. That was probably worth another $100,000 to me. So,
it was. Yeah, because he was in a tie for fourth, so it would have been down to tie for seventh if that didn't go down.
So all I need are about seven or eight more weeks like this past one, Bo, and I'll go flying right past you. I'm up first this week. I'll take my guy Matt Fitzpatrick, Bo. I'm horses for courses, and you know, he's consistently been grinding out the top tens here. Who's it going to be for you?
The favorites are going to win this thing, and I just have to be smart about it. But I still haven't decided. I'm going to pull up right now. I'm going to make a choice. 2 seconds. I don't remember if I've played Victor Hovland yet. Have I played Victor Hovland yet?
I don't believe you have played Victor.
I'm playing Victor Hovland this week.
Hovland, it is. The Norwegian. All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Sign up for Underdog if you haven't already with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit matched up to $100 plus a special pick available for you in the lobby. And please come join Bo and I again next week when we will be previewing the fifth major, the Players Championship. It's one of the bigger events on the PGA Tour calendar, and we will cover it in great detail next week. Until then, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.